You ever see something and you're just like, what even is that? I know what you mean.
That's how I feel about Kratom.
Oh,
Like, 1 minute it's at the health food store, all natural and stuff.
Right.
Next thing you know, it's at the gas station with the energy drinks.
Yeah, it's definitely got a weird vibe, you know?
Yeah. So that's what we're diving into today, this whole Kratom thing.
Interesting.
How did it go from like wellness circles to being so controversial, you know?
I mean,
Because I'm reading all this stuff about it, and there are some wild twists and
No,
turns.
really.
Like, even a murder for hire plot.
Whoa, okay. Now I'm really interested.
I know, right?
So, where do we even start with this?
Well, I was reading that Kratom really started getting popular in the US around 2014.
Okay, that tracks.
It was all about like energy boosts and finding balance.
Right, natural energy, all that.
Yeah, and you could even find it at like GNC
Oh, wow.
and on Amazon.
That's interesting.
Like GNC, that seems pretty mainstream, right?
Yeah, for sure.
I feel like if you see something at GNC, you kind of think,
Yeah.
okay, this must be legit.
Like it's been vetted, yeah.
But then, like, what happened? You don't see it there anymore.
Right, exactly. And that's a big part of the mystery here.
Okay, so walk me through it.
Well, around the same time Kratom was getting popular, there was this whole other thing happening with synthetic drugs.
Oh, yeah, like spice and bath salts.
Exactly. Those were a huge
I
problem.
remember those scary stuff.
Oh, yeah. Super dangerous.
Marketed as legal highs, but.
Right. But really messed up stuff.
And I remember seeing them sold alongside Kratom, which is confusing.
Yeah. And that's no accident, unfortunately.
What do you mean?
Well, some of the suppliers saw a way to make a quick buck, you know. They
Oh.
started intentionally blurring the lines.
So they were like straight up lying to people.
Pretty much.
Wow, that's messed up.
Yeah, taking advantage of the situation.
Especially considering how dangerous those synthetic drugs were.
Exactly. It was a recipe for disaster.
So did that connection, that's got to be what pushed Kratom into
Oh,
those
yeah, that played a huge role.
like shadier places.
Totally.
Like you said, it was in GNC and Amazon.
Right, more mainstream.
But as soon as it got lumped in with these synthetics,
People got scared. Retailers got nervous.
it disappeared.
And that's where the whole gas station drug thing really starts.
Okay, so fill me in on that whole evolution.
So, going back even further, Kratom was already being sold in smoke shops, like in the mid-90s.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. But then some shops started getting greedy.
Oh, no, what'd they
They
do?
started adding other stuff to the Kratom,
Yeah.
like to make it stronger or
Oh,
whatever.
man, and people wouldn't even know.
Exactly. Super dangerous.
So was that when the DEA got involved?
Well, they issued a warning about Kratom in 2005. And then there was this really tragic case in Sweden.
What
It was
happened?
in 2009, nine people died
9 people.
from a Kratom product.
Wow.
It was called Krypton. Yeah. But it turned out it was laced with this super strong opioid.
Oh my
It was
God.
tramadol, like really high levels of it.
Tramadol, what's that?
It's a painkiller, but really potent.
So, like, way stronger than what people thought they were taking.
Exactly. And that's the big issue with an unregulated market. You just don't know what you're getting.
That's terrifying, honestly.
Yeah, it really highlights the importance of knowing your source.
100%.
So, with all this going on, Kratom's image was already taking a hit.
Right, I can see that.
But then things shifted again.
What
Remember
happened?
how we were talking about spice and those other synthetic drugs?
Yeah.
Well, around this time, they started getting banned.
Okay, so what did that have to do with Kratom?
Well, all those manufacturers and distributors, they needed a new product.
Oh, I see where this is going.
They saw that Kratom was readily available.
Unregulated.
Time they pounced.
So they basically flooded the market with Kratom.
Yeah, pushing it into gas stations and convenience stores, anywhere they could.
Wow, so it became the new legal high after Spice got banned.
Exactly. And that really cemented that gas station drug image.
Makes sense.
There's this really clear example of this happening in Illinois.
Oh, what happened there?
When they outlawed spice in Illinois, Kratom basically filled the void.
And just took over.
Yeah, it was like a one-to-one swap.
So, have you seen that where you live?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I've seen Kratom in some places that definitely don't scream health and wellness.
I know, right? It's like, really here?
Totally.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground here.
Yeah, we have.
But it feels like there's more to this story, like a darker side
Oh, there definitely is.
we haven't even touched on yet.
Yeah, when all these former spice manufacturers got into the Kratom game,
Yeah.
it got really competitive.
Oh no, what do you mean?
We're talking FBI raids, jail sentences, even a murder for hire plot.
Hold on, wait a minute.
Yeah, it's wild.
A murder for hire plot, like for real.
For real.
This is getting intense.
It gets pretty crazy.
How did that even happen?
It's a long story, but basically a power struggle within the industry.
Man, this is like something out of a movie.
Right. It's wild. And while those extreme cases, they're not representative of the whole industry.
Okay.
They definitely played a part in shaping how people see Kratom.
I can see how that would happen. It's like guilt by association almost.
Yeah, kind of.
Okay, so all of this is super interesting and kind of unsettling.
Yeah, it's a lot.
But I'm wondering about the people who were using Kratom responsibly. Like, yeah. Where do they fit into all of this?
That's a really good question. And we're going to get to that.
Okay, good.
But first, we've got to talk about the big guy in the room.
Who's that?
The FDA.
Right, the FDA. Didn't they try to ban Kratom at some point?
They did, on multiple occasions, actually.
Really? What was that all about?
Oh, that's where the story gets even more complicated.
Oh, boy. All right, we'll lead the way.
Let's dive in. Yeah, so the FDA trying to ban Kratom, it really shows you how much tension there is around this whole thing.
Yeah, I can see that.
They were worried about the risks, obviously.
Right.
And they kept saying there weren't enough studies.
To prove it was safe.
Yeah. Safe and effective.
So it was like people were saying, hey, this helps me.
Right, exactly.
But the FDA was like, hold on, we need more data.
Exactly. Classic clash of anecdotal evidence versus science.
And to be fair to the FDA,
yeah,
they were seeing reports of bad side effects.
Right, and concerns about people getting addicted.
So they were coming from a place of concern.
Oh, yeah, they were definitely worried about public health.
That makes sense.
But on the other hand,
yeah,
you can see why people who felt like Kratom was helping them would be upset.
Oh, yeah, totally. If you feel like something is working for you.
You don't want it taken away.
Right, exactly. So did the FDA actually ban it?
Well, that's where things get interesting.
Oh, what happened?
People got really fired up about it.
Really?
Oh, yeah. There were protests, petitions.
Yeah.
People sharing their personal stories about how Kratom had helped them.
So they were like, this is real. This is helping people.
Exactly. It was a powerful reminder that sometimes those personal experiences,
yeah,
they carry a lot of weight.
More than just data.
I think so, yeah.
So, what, the FDA had to back down?
Pretty much, the public outcry forced them to rethink their stance.
Wow, so the people spoke and the FDA listened.
You could say that.
That's kind of awesome, actually.
It is, but that doesn't mean the debate over Kratom is over.
Right, it's still going on.
Oh, yeah, there are groups like the American Kratom Association, a.k.a.
I've heard of them. They're fighting for Kratom, right?
Exactly. They're pushing for legislation to make the market safer.
What kind of legislation?
It's called the Kratom Consumer Protection Act, or KCPA.
Okay, and what would that do?
Basically, it would set some ground rules for testing and labeling.
All right.
And sales, so people know what they're buying.
So it's like setting standards?
Yeah, for quality and safety.
That sounds reasonable.
But of course, there are people who oppose it.
Oh, well.
Some worry that any regulation could lead to a ban eventually.
Oh, I see. Like, it's a slippery slope.
Yeah, that's the argument.
And others think it doesn't go far enough.
Right, they want more protections.
So it's like trying to find that balance.
Yeah, between safety and access.
Right.
But before we get too deep into the regulations,
yeah,
I think we should talk about why people like Kratom so much.
Oh, yeah, good point. We haven't really talked about the effects.
Right, like, what does it actually do?
Yeah, why are people taking it in the first place?
That's where the science gets really interesting.
Okay. I'm listening.
So Kratom leaves have these compounds.
Mm-hmm.
But the main one is called metragenine.
Metragenine? That sounds intense.
It is. It interacts with opioid receptors in the brain.
Wait, opioid receptors?
Yeah.
That sounds kind of scary given the whole opioid crisis.
I know. But it's important to understand this.
Okay.
It binds to those receptors.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't act like traditional opioids. Not really.
So not like heroin or OxyContin?
Right. Research shows that at low doses, it's more like a stimulant.
Oh, really?
It gives you energy, helps you focus.
Huh. So like a natural energy drink, kind of?
Yeah, kind of. A lot of users say they feel more alert and motivated.
Interesting.
Some even say it helps with pain.
At low doses?
Yeah.
But then what happens at higher doses?
That's when it gets more relaxing, almost sedative.
Oh, wow. So it's like it has two different personalities.
Kind of, yeah. Stimulating at low doses, calming at higher doses.
That's pretty wild.
It is. And that's one of the things that draws people to it.
I can see that. Like, you can tailor it to what you need.
Exactly. Need a boost. Low dose. Want to relax. higher dose.
Okay, so that explains the appeal.
Yeah.
But we got to talk about the risks, too.
Oh, absolutely. We can't ignore that.
Like, there are side effects, right?
Definitely. Nausea, constipation, dizziness.
Oh, yeah, I've heard about those.
Even anxiety sometimes.
And in some cases, worse stuff, right?
Yeah, especially if it's mixed with other things.
So it's not something to mess around with.
No, not at all. You got to be careful. Do your research.
Start low, go slow, all that.
Exactly. And never mix it with other meds or alcohol without talking to a doctor.
Good advice.
What about addiction?
It's a big one. Is that a risk with kratom?
It's complicated. It does interact with opioid receptors.
Right.
But the addiction potential is thought to be lower than with, like, heroin.
Okay, that's good at least.
But you can still become dependent on it.
Especially if you're using a lot for a long time.
Exactly.
So moderation is key.
Absolutely.
It feels like there's still a lot we don't know about kratom.
Oh, yeah. Definitely. And that makes the whole debate even more complicated.
For sure.
Which is why it's so important to listen to the people who have used it.
Their stories.
Yeah, their experiences can give us insights that go beyond the science.
I like that.
Like beyond the data and the regulations.
Yeah, it's about the human side of it.
Exactly.
You know, it's kind of crazy how one plant can cause so much debate.
Oh, yeah.
So many different opinions.
Kratom is definitely complicated.
But I feel like something's been missing from this conversation.
Really? What's that?
The human side of it, you know?
Oh, you mean?
The people whose lives have actually been impacted by kratom.
The personal stories.
Yeah, those stories often get lost, you know?
Yeah.
And all the back and forth.
It's easy to forget about the real people.
Right. It becomes about the science or the laws.
Yeah, but beyond all that, there are people for whom kratom has been life-changing.
Like, in a good way?
Yeah, like people who were struggling with chronic pain.
I've heard about that.
Or trying to get off opioids.
Yeah, I've seen those stories online.
Those are powerful.
People saying kratom gave them their lives back.
It's incredible.
Able to work again, enjoy life again.
Without being reliant on painkillers.
It's pretty amazing.
It really highlights the need for more options for pain management.
I mean, if it's helping people, that's got to count for something, right?
I think so.
But of course, like with anything,
there are two sides to every story.
We can't ignore the people who've had bad experiences with kratom.
Definitely not.
Some people get side effects.
Yeah, like nausea, anxiety.
Like withdrawal, I've heard.
Right. And in some cases, there have been serious complications.
Especially when it's mixed with other things.
That's a big one. Polydrug use is always risky.
So it's not a miracle cure.
Definitely not. And it's important to be aware of the potential downsides.
It's like anything else. You got to be informed.
Right. And that's why research and education are so important.
We need to understand it better.
Yeah. Figure out what works, what doesn't, for whom.
So people can make informed choices.
Exactly.
It all comes back to that balance between safety and access.
Right. How do we protect people, but also
not take away something that might be helping them?
That's the million-dollar question.
So where do we go from here?
Yeah, that's the tough part.
What's the future of kratom?
It's hard to say. It's at a crossroads.
It's a plant with a long history.
But a very uncertain future.
Yeah, it feels that way.
A lot depends on the choices we make.
The information we share.
The actions we take.
So it's on us.
In a way, yes.
It's a lot of responsibility.
It is. But it also means we have power.
To make a difference.
Exactly. We can shape the conversation, influence what happens.
So we shouldn't just sit back and watch.
Definitely not. Stay informed. Get involved.
How to do that.
Support organizations like the AKA, Advocate for Responsible Laws.
Make our voices heard.
Exactly. The future of kratom is being written right now.
We're all part of it.
That's a powerful thought.
It is. It's easy to feel overwhelmed by all this, but
knowing we can do something is empowering.
For sure. Well, I think we've covered a lot today.
We have.
Kratom's history, the effects, the science, the controversy.
The human stories.
It's been a wild ride.
It has.
Hopefully it's made people curious.
To learn more.
Yeah, to keep exploring this topic.
Because that's what it's all about.
Curiosity, challenging assumptions, understanding the world better.
Well said.
There's always more to discover.
That's the truth.
So until next time, keep diving deep.